Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Let me give you three reasons why you need a TouringPlans.com subscription. First of all, there are over 140 premium touring plans on the site. Touring plans that'll help you see a whole park in a day, maybe break that park into 2 days. Plans for families with young children, families with older children, families that don't have children. There's plans for all types of vacationers, so check out those great touring plans. Second, you're going to have access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which will give you up-to-the-minute wait times for all Walt Disney World attractions. And finally, you're going to have access to the 365-day crowd calendar, which is going to get you in the right park on the right day. Please support the folks who support us. We have great friends over at TouringPlans.com, and you are going to love your subscription. So check them out over at www.touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 275 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And where did that weekend go? You know, it's Monday now and it's time to get back to work, but let's combat that thought with some Disney talk and have a good time talking about Disney today. So joining me from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Hello, I can't believe you're right. The weekend's over. That went quick.
Where did the summer? I mean, where did the summer go? I mean, it's almost November.
I know. This is getting ridiculous. Very ridiculous.
I know. All right, so we have our friend down in Florida next. What's going on, Debbie?
It always feels weird for you to say down in Florida.
For me, it's down.
Florida.
That's where you are now.
Yeah. Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I like that the weather's cooled off. This is kind of a fun time of the year. You got football, you got Halloween. Thanksgiving's not too far away, so can't complain.
You know what? I agree. And that cute little pumpkin with the little Mickey ears that Pam made for the treehouse party, I still look at it right now. It's sitting on my little kitchen area. So I keep filling the Mickey magic.
Very nice. And also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
I'm like Ricky. I'm going to put my foot down, like me and Messiah talked about. I'm not letting it move any further into the year, and I'm going to write a sternly worded letter to someone about that.
I mean, who can we write this letter to?
This has to stop, and we'll sign it hugs and kisses, Ricky and Pam.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, that's real sternly, okay.
Well, you have to be stern and then sign it nicely.
Okay.
Like, have a magical day. Anyway.
I can say something ignorant, but I won't.
Okay. But anyways, yeah, I know. We're well into fall. And I like fall, but it's kind of like, you know, getting into the cold time.
Exactly. That's why I don't like it. It means cold is coming.
Well, and you do realize that Messiah was still laughing about the putting the foot down in the strongly worded letter still. So we have our great friend over in Japan. She's enjoying her Tuesday, so very good. We love you, Messiah.
I did it just for her.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about a topic that really I've thought about many, many times, but I never really thought about doing a podcast on this topic. But we're going to give it a shot today. And we're going to talk about, does Disney listen? Do they listen to the online community? Because there's so much information out there, and Lord knows we all like to share our opinions on things when it comes to our favorite place. You know, if you take a screw out of some attraction, some people, we're going to have a campaign to get rid of Iger. I mean, and I'm the same way, you know, when they started messing with Space Mountain, I just wanted to, you know, take somebody out because I didn't want them to mess up my queue and all that. But, you know, it always comes out okay. But I've always wondered, you know, there's so many of us now online and we're all connected to each other and we all know how to use hashtags on Twitter and, you know, have huge message forums going, you know, threads on message forums and stuff. And I would guess that Disney has to some way know what's going on with all of us. And with us, again, air quotes, but all the folks who are passionate about the Disney product. And we want to always hang on to those great memories that we have. We sometimes don't want things to change. So, you know, I wonder. So initially, Let's go the other way. Pam, what do you think? I mean, does Disney listen? Do they have a kind of a finger to the pulse of what's going on?
Oh. This is so tough.
That's
because...
the right noise to make, exactly.
Because, you know, Disney is a company that constantly is soliciting the opinions of their guests and the people that they work with and partner with and things like that. You know, we all get... you know, asked as we walk in to take a survey, or maybe when we're leaving a theme park, we may get an email or postcard to take a survey when we return home. So it would seem to me that if they are not listening to things like discussion boards, podcasts, Twitter, things like that, then they're missing a huge and maybe much more honest segment of the responses that they want to get. I think we have seen some evidence of it, and as we move further in the podcast, I will talk about that in specifics, but I know, you know, that they do listen to some things and don't to others, or maybe they just don't care to make the changes, so.
Okay, and that's kind of why it took us to episode 275 to take on this topic, because it's one of those things, it's almost like a rhetorical question, do they listen, because... how do you know? So we're going to try to come up with some evidence of, you know, either yay or nay, they do listen, so, or they don't. So, Debbie, what are your initial thoughts on this? Do they listen?
Oh, I would say absolutely. I mean, Disney, where else can you go but to get hundreds and thousands of people in one setting from all over the world to get their opinions? And it wouldn't even surprise me if Disney has people out there that actually go on and start threads asking certain questions just to solicit ideas and come up with their game plans. Because to me, if you're going to try to come up with an idea and to maybe toss something out there that could, I mean, not give away the whole, you know, recipe, but at least give it a little touch, what do you think about this? I think that would maybe help steer them. So if they are looking at doing something a little bit different or a different change, then they might be able to sort of help form the way, the path that they go, versus trying out these different ways and it not working, versus already coming up with reasons why it wouldn't work and what are some ways that it would work better and faster and more cost effective. So absolutely, I would be shocked if Disney did not do that.
You know, Debbie, I'm right with you, because I used to be very active on the Diz boards years ago, and that's, you know, obviously a huge message forum that, I mean, just new messages, you know, every second. It's so incredible how many messages get posted there. So what an opportunity for Disney to plant a seed, like you said, you know, because you can anonymously create an account and have a name that, you know, would not be associated with the company, post something that you're curious about. You know, I wonder how people would feel about this. And if it's something that's any kind of controversial, within hours, you're going to get 50 or 60 or 100 responses. And, you know, I'm not sure that Disney doesn't do that on the larger forums, or maybe even on the smaller ones, because there is a level of anonymity when it comes to message forums and things like Twitter, too. So I think that's a really good point, Deb.
Sure.
All right. So, Ricky, what do you think?
I'm like Pam. Oh, I'm torn. I think they listen when they want to. I think they listen when, unfortunately, I think they listen when it benefits them. I think they listen when they see dollar signs. I have some examples of when I don't think that they listen. I really think it's half and half, but really I think it has to mostly benefit them in order for them to listen. You know, things that we may be passionate about, you know, things that we may not want them to change. Like right now, I know that there's a lot of fear right now with the gravestones at the Haunted Mansion, and they've been taken away right now, and they're working on the queue, and there's a lot of up in arms about stuff like that. And so, you know, we'll see if they listen in that one of whether they put them back or are going to use those in the future or whatnot. But I really, honestly, I think it's 50-50. I think when they want to, they listen.
But, you know, something like the gravestones at the Haunted Mansion, 99.5% of the guests don't care about that. They really don't. So I could see where Disney's
right.
Like, you know, they may hear it, but you know what? We're going to put our resources somewhere else, because nobody's going to notice except for the very select few. But I think that there are times, and I agree, though, that there are times where it benefits them. So they're going to say, hey, we heard you and we're going to make this change because we want it to be, you know, we want to be interacting with you. But I will say that over the past few years, I'm more excited that Disney seems to be actively involved in social media, because I know that it was very frustrating. The only way you could really get a hold of them, I mean, it used to be to kind of write a regular old letter and mail it off to their guest relations department, or, you know, when you're at the park, stop by City Hall or, you know, guest relations there. So now it seems like with the Disney Parks blog, and, you know, they're on Twitter now, that every once in a while you may get a response from like the Disney World.
That's the thing account. Is every once in a while, but it is nice that they do try and respond. That is the good part.
It is so cool. And it's got, you know, they have to have so many followers, so it would be impossible to give everybody a response. But again, I mean, I don't know to the level that they listen to, and not that they listen to us, but I mean, you got to realize you have podcasts that have huge numbers and message boards that have hundreds of thousands of members. I mean, it's a resource that if they're not paying attention to it, they're really dropping the ball, because honestly, that's free information and you're getting honest information, because people don't lie when it comes to their favorite things. I mean, they're going to tell you what they like and they're going to tell you what they don't like with no reservations. I mean, which is a good thing. So Pam, you said you may have an example of where you think Disney has listened or not listened. So if you don't mind, share that with us.
I do. And you know what? I think this is a perfect example, because this example is Disney. So when the Dining Plan first came out, Le Cellier was actually a 2 table service credit meal. And there was a big outcry from people about that. And then it was reduced to a 1 table service credit meal. And of course, we all know the popularity soared again for Le Cellier. And now it is going back again at dinner to a 2 table service credit meal. So, I mean, I think that that is really a perfect example of Disney, because I think they listened, and then I think they quit caring and they moved it back up to 2. I don't know how else you can say that, because there's no way, although Disney loves to put a spin on things, there's no way they're going to be able to say, due to guest requests, we've now made this a 2 service meal.
Due to guest demand, we're going to charge you more money for it. Yeah, no.
So I think that that is a good, you know, that's a good example of Disney. But there are some more. I think that guests for a very long time really were right in saying this too, that you never ever want to buy a package because it's never a good deal. And guests didn't like that, because so many guests wanted the convenience of a package and wanted things to be bundled. So now a package is, you know, as good as a deal as splitting up the components. There's not that extra surcharge that there used to be. And now guests have the option of including tickets for only part of their stay. And I think that that's something that guests had always requested and always wanted. And now you're able to do that. And finally, I'll give one more, and I believe that part of this is in is guest demand, and part of it is helping Disney kind of align the expectations of the guests with what they're going to get. And I know that a lot of people think that these extra resort categories are maybe a way for Disney to make money, and, you know, I'm very sure that that's part of it. But as in the case with, and I'll give an example for the Contemporary, a few years ago, they added specifically to the Contemporary a Tower Magic Kingdom view. Because prior to that point, when you got a room in the Tower, you did not know whether it was a Bay Lake view or a view of the Magic Kingdom. They were exactly the same price. And I know, and I'll just speak for myself in this instance, I would rather pay, let's say, $40 more a night to ensure that view of the Magic Kingdom, and I'm sure most guests would too. And that's the case even in this latest round of room categories. There is a difference between a river view and a pool view. I mean, you know, and which one would you rather have? And at least now you have that option. And I like that. I like that guests are informed and they know what they're going to get ahead of time. And I think part of that is because they listen to us.
You know, and I think those are great points. And you know, I want to go back to the Le Cellier thing, because I have an opinion on this too. And I don't know if it's valid or not, but I'll tell you that this is really honestly what I think about the Le Cellier, you know, 2-1-2 kind of deal over the last few years. That, you know, I would have, as just a casual Disney fan, before I got really involved in listening to podcasts and joining message forums and so forth, I probably would have never been aware of Le Cellier. I probably would have walked right past it every single time. But I heard Mike Scopa, you know, years ago, probably like in 2006, raving about his Scopa special of his steak and everything that he got there, and how this was just, it's a not to be missed restaurant in the Disney community. You got to go there. You got to go there. So then I was exposed to it, and then I went there, and I really liked the experience. I thought it was a great deal. I thought he was exactly right. So then what do? You know, we start a podcast and we talk to all of our friends about the thing. And then they talk to their friends. And I wonder, really, I have wondered this because I know we're not a huge segment of the population. You know, the folks who listen to podcasts and who, you know, visit message boards and tweet all the time. But I wonder how much of a factor the Disney online community has with swamping a smaller place like Le Cellier, because it's not a huge place. So it doesn't take as much to cause those ADRs to be really hard to get. So, Ricky, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, that the Disney online community has something to do with the popularity of Le Cellier?
Oh, yeah. I think that there are certain places that the online community definitely has some say in. Le Cellier is for sure one of them. You know, I think that, another example that I have is Trail's End. I would have never tried Trail's End if it weren't for WDW Today talking about it. So, you know, by suggestion from someone else, also I tried Whispering Canyon off of suggestion from someone online one time. So, you know, definitely the suggestions of other people in the online community, I think, is causing some problems in some restaurants. Not necessarily problems, but increase in guest demand. You know, because some of our favorite restaurants are the ones that are the harder to get into, and I think that there are a lot of times a lot harder to get into because so many people do know about them. You know, like we've said, the average guest doesn't know about that they need to make ADRs. So they don't even know that these restaurants exist. So I think that, you know, I think that because a lot of us know about these restaurants and know how to make our ADRs, I think that we are a big segment of the people that make up the restaurant.
You know, and I think that, you know, if you've listened to podcasts and been a part of the Disney online community for any length of time, there's almost a mystique to Le Cellier. If you've never yes. been there, it's almost becoming like a rite of passage. Like,
it is.
You've hit a certain level of Disney fanness, and you have to go to Le Cellier. You have to have that experience. But I just wonder how many of us are out there. But with technology being so readily available, I mean, like, with your smartphone, I mean, you can be on Twitter constantly talking to people. And it's a lot easier now for fans to interact with other fans and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I've always wondered that, because I know Scopa really championed Le Cellier. And now, you know, 5 years later, okay, now it's a two table service credit meal. So maybe we took it too far. You know,
maybe I'm doing it with the grilled cheese sandwich.
Maybe. Exactly. So, Debbie, you had an example of where you thought Disney listened. So what do you think?
Well, remember when they changed the TTA spiel? And nobody seemed to be really thrilled about it. They were complaining about the Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow part. They were complaining about, it wasn't even talking about Mickey's Star Traders down below. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that they tweaked it to now you do have about the Star Traders when you're passing through. And even though the Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow part's kind of cheesy because it talks about the moon and not Saturn and a ring, it's still, I could tell that they did fine-tune it, and these were very statements that I've seen on different boards of people saying, where's this, where's that? So that's my personal thing, is I think that they really did listen.
You know, and that's a great point, Debbie. I never would have thought about that, but there was like an outrage when they changed that narration.
I'm still sad they changed it.
Me too.
But, I know,
but you're right. They had to have been listening, because this isn't something that was like, you know, 2-3 years had passed between, you know, X happening and then the outcry. It was, you right. know, this happened, and I would say within maybe 3 months, they had tweaked it a little bit.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Good point, because I would have never thought about that. So, yeah, hey, we have evidence. Disney listens. We have an answer.
Yes.
So, awesome. Good job, Debbie. So, so Ricky, what do you think? Do you have any examples where you think Disney's really taken our feedback in the online community to, you know, better or just leave things the same? What do you think?
I have a couple of examples where I think that they are listening. One of them is, I think with the Fantasyland expansion, they haven't necessarily really come out and said what the changes are, but they are making some changes with the Fantasyland expansion, and I think a lot of that may, a lot of it has to do with some other aspects too, but a lot of it may have to do with the online community and the outcry of there's not enough of something, or there's too many princesses, or whatever. Another one that I think is actually a pretty good one, especially after seeing it, is Captain EO. That I don't think would have ever come back without, you know, a lot of the Disney community saying, hey, we want to see Captain EO again. We want to see it again. It was something that I had never seen until, you know, thanks to Mike taking me and Pam. Or no, Mike wasn't there, just Pam. thanks to Pam dragging me over there, you know, I finally got to see it. So
we're here to change the world, Ricky.
We are here to change the world. That's right. Exactly. And dance our little booties off. So, but, you know, I think that they listen in those areas, definitely.
You got to hang with Captain EO for a whole night. I mean, what do you want?
Come on. I did. See, that's why I got confused. I thought that you were there, but no, you were just dressed up. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, this topic, though, is very interesting to me because I like seeing the development of social media and how it connects, especially Disney fans, together. Because, you know, look back 5-6 years ago, if you're a hardcore Disney fan, you didn't have a lot of outlets to go to talk to people. You know, you might go to the library and check out books on, you know, Imagineering and the resorts and obviously all the travel guides and so forth, but you didn't have this outlet where now instantly I get to talk to people who were at Disney's Hollywood Studios right now, standing in line for Toy Story Midway Mania, or I'm talking to somebody who's just finished their meal at BOMA, and I get instant feedback on if it was a good meal, if it was a great meal, how the service was, because the people who are involved in social media aren't shy about sharing their honest opinions, and you get it. So I think that, you know, Disney's a smart company. They're there to use every resource, I think, to the best of their ability. And this is just, I have to think it's a gold mine for them, because you're always wanting to know, what does your customer want? What do they think of this and that? And it's just a steady flow, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of honesty. And the thing is, though, I mean, we're obviously a small, again, percentage of the population, and we're skewed. I mean, we're hooked. We love Disney. So we're going to have a different opinion than, you know, maybe your typical day guest who is a Six Flags fan, you know, and go, you know, just thinks of it as an amusement park. So I think that could be something. But, you know, I don't know, Pam, what do you think? I mean, I think they have to have somebody that monitors all this stuff. They have to.
I think that they seek input from a lot of different avenues. But you have to remember that Disney is a very traditional company and used to, you know, we think of them as being so progressive, but they're slow to implement things. And it's not that they don't want to, but it's just when you're dealing with a company. I mean, I know that even in my own day, as our company gets bigger, it's slower to do things. And that's a frustration. And when you think of a company as large as Disney, you know, that impedes their progress in some ways, that it has to go through so many layers before you can implement a change. And even the gaining of information is going to fall victim to that. So I think that they do get ideas, maybe, but I think it happens more as individual cast members saying things like, I saw this on Twitter, I saw this on a discussion board, I saw this whatever, as opposed to an organized, consorted kind of effort to go out and seek information from these different avenues. Does that make sense?
It does, but I picture that as many employees as Disney has, you know, and you know, just at Walt Disney World, there are what, Debbie, like 55,000-60,000 cast members down there?
Yep. That's it.
Okay, so you have this huge workforce, plus you got, you know, all the other entities in the Disney company. But, I mean, obviously we're just talking about the theme parks and the resorts and so forth. But it would seem like they could almost have, like, a room somewhere, you know, like they do at, at the reservation center, you know, because they have all these agents there taking reservations all the time. But it would seem like, you know, have, like, 10 people on computers all the time, have three shifts, it's 24 hours a day. And these people are just monitoring the flow of everything that's happening on Facebook, on Twitter, on, you know, and they know the big message boards, they know them, and they have to stay up to date. They have to hear the podcast. And I'm not saying they have to listen to ours. We're not selling it like we're the big one. They need to listen to us, but there are huge podcasts out there that they could just glean a lot of good feedback from. So, you know, I think that there has to almost be like the room, like the war room, where they listen to all the information. Debbie, do you think that happens, or am I just totally off here?
Honestly, I don't think that it's like this room with people who sit and monitor like that. My personal opinion is that maybe like a marketing area would sit there and they would kind of check through things every now and then, like even several times throughout the day, like post something and then move on for a while, then come back at the end of the day, see what's been said, read through it. But Pam, you know, you make an extremely strong and good remark, and I've heard this from several Disney cast members that are friends of mine, because Disney is so big, and I've heard this in so many times, is that, and these are managers that I know, that it's not just like you can make a change and quickly move on. You do have to go through all these layers of people and get everybody to sign off on it, and so something like them changing the TTA in just a few months to me was incredible, because it does take such a while for Disney to react, or respond.
Right. And that, and I guess the other thing, Mike, like you pointed out, the online community is actually a small section of people who go to Disney. And while Disney values the input of Disney files like us, there's also, we have to remember that there's all these other people who don't have the information we have, and they value that as well. So, and they're used to getting that information submitted through different avenues. So,
well, so how much do you think they use the information? I'll give this one to Ricky. You know, when you walk through the turnstiles and you run into one of the research department cast members that are standing there with the computer, and shout out to Caitlin, who does that at Epcot. We see her all the time, every time I'm down there, and she's a listener. So, hey to you, and thanks for doing what you do. But how do you think Disney uses that information? Because I know that that could be skewed too, because they're asking me about my Disney vacation when I'm like standing, you know, 50 feet in front of Spaceship Earth, man. It's like Christmas morning. I'm not giving you, you know, I'm giving you great answers because I'm like, I'm in the moment at that time where I can give you more reliable information probably a week later. So, I mean, what do you think they use that information for, Ricky?
I think they use it to glean what they want. I hate to say it. I don't want to sound like I'm negative about the company, but you're right. They're getting the pixie dust right there. You know, you're there, you're excited, you want to go ride Spaceship Earth, so you are gonna skew your answers a lot more positively, I think, than if you did do it at home. And if they sent you a survey once you got back, I mean, I know that they do that sometimes, but I do think that sometimes that the answers can be skewed just a little bit because of the pixie dust. I don't want to sound like a negative Nelly or anything. I'm not, but I do think that they can be skewed a little bit more positively in Disney's favor when they're done right there.
You know, one example though that I know that they do listen to us is when you have a great cast member, or Pam has pointed out in the past as well, a cast member that may need a little bit more coaching, or maybe they're not in the perfect role for their personality. When you fill out those, you know, surveys or the little cards, comment cards at guest relations, City Hall, so forth, I know that they do use those to help really reward those cast members who are going above and beyond, because it goes into their file. And hopefully they're listening to the others too, because, you know, sometimes people just get put in a situation where it's not the best fit for them. So I think you could agree with me, Pam and Debbie and Ricky, that, you know, this is something that is important for us as huge Disney fans to take notice of. And this is an opportunity where we always want Disney to hear us. This is an avenue where it's almost guaranteed that they do hear us. Do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there's a lot of good information, not just from us, but I mean, from, you know, our listeners and everything. You know, there's some great information there, and I hope they are listening.
And Debbie, I know you're big in filling out the comment cards for great cast members.
I am. I love doing that, you know, and I do cut them slack every now and then when they tend to, and rarely does it happen, but when they slide a little bit on that side, because I, you know, I always have to stop and say, you know, maybe they've just got word that their loved one was ill, or maybe they're coming back from the flu and they can't afford to take time off. But for the 99.999%, I do my very best, if anything, to even talk with the manager and say, I just want to let you know what a great, great employee you have. So, yes, I think it's so important to do that. And, yes, I do that.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this show up, and we want to hear what you think about this topic, because I know that everybody has at least thought about this at some point. Especially if you're involved in the online community, especially in social media like Twitter, Facebook, there's just a gold mine of information out there. But again, we're not the huge population, but we're a part of it. But we want to know what you hear. Do you think Disney listens to us, the online community? So visit our website at www.beourguestpodcast.com. Let us know what you think, and let's carry on this conversation even more, because I know you have some great ideas, and I can't wait to hear what you think about this topic. Don't forget that today's episode was brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. So the next time you're headed down to Walt Disney World, you know you need information and you want to have the best experience possible. You don't want to wait in line all day. You just want to get on those great attractions. And a touringplans.com subscription is going to help you do that. You're going to have access to over 140 premium touring plans, access to the 365-day crowd calendar, as well as access to Lines, which is the mobile application for smartphones. It's going to give you up-to-the-date wait times and fast pass times for all the attractions at Walt Disney World. So check them out over at www.touringplans.com. Don't forget to check out our radio station, which is Magical Mouse Radio. We play great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is something special for the Halloween weekend on October 29th, 30th, and 31st. We're going to play on those evenings a big Halloween mix in case you're having a Halloween party at your house. Hey, we'll provide the soundtrack for you. So on Friday evening, the 29th, Saturday evening, the 30th, and on Sunday evening, the 31st, Halloween night, we're going to play great Walt Disney World Halloween stuff. We'll mix in some good stuff like Thriller from our good old friend Captain EO. Not really, but it's Michael Jackson. You know, the good stuff, Ghostbusters and Monster Mash and all that, you know, those classics. So let us be your soundtrack on Halloween weekend. We want to spread the magic and say thanks to you for listening and have a good time with Halloween. So again, we appreciate you downloading our show. Please do spread the word wherever you go. We love getting new friends and family members involved in the show here. It's just a lot of fun. But again, thank you for listening, and please do spread the word. And if you're one of our new listeners, thanks for checking us out. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button when you go to iTunes. If you do that, you won't miss any future episodes. It'll download automatically right there, and you'll get our latest episode. So thanks again for tuning in. We appreciate it so much. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike. Have a great week, work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.